told you that an IEP isn't just about grades. I know you've heard me say this before, and that it's not just about reading or writing, academics, that an IEP can and absolutely should support your kiddo with making friends, regulating emotions, following directions, organizing their backpack, and even learning how to navigate the lunchroom. Sounds great? Of course it does, because we as parents have those concerns. But here's the problem. Too often, non-academic needs are overlooked, downplayed, or flat out denied at the IEP table. And that's why today we are cracking the code on how to ensure that your kiddo's IEP covers all of their needs, think bell to bell, not just the ones that show up on the report card. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, and this is the Special Ed Strategist. So let's start with just a quick review of IDEA. So Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, schools are required to provide students with disabilities a free and appropriate public education. But that doesn't just mean academics. IDEA clearly states that an IEP must address a child's needs in what they call functional performance. And in functional performance, we're talking about behavior, emotional regulation, executive function, and social skills. So what falls under non-academic needs? So that's really what we're thinking about is IEPs that have support with non-academic needs. So think about five big buckets. I want you to think about the social emotional skills, such as making friends, handling peer conflict, self-advocacy, and understanding social cues. Think about behavioral supports, managing outbursts, transitions between activities, whether that's in a classroom or throughout the school day, meaning in the hallways, lunchroom, recess, specials. Also supporting kiddos with reducing anxiety triggers that may cause some emotional and behavioral distress. We're also thinking about executive function, meaning planning, organizing materials, remembering assignments, chunking down larger assignments, accessing a locker, and staying focused. We're looking at life skills as well. That can include using public transportation, money management, daily life skills. Again, not academically related, but looking at our education and accessing the education. Related service, when we have that on an IEP, we're talking about occupational therapy, speech therapy, counseling, social work support, assistive technology. So if any of these areas impact your kiddo's ability to thrive in school, they must be considered in the IEP. The question is, how do you get the supports written in? So let's dive in. Well, this is where many parents tend to get stuck, right? So schools will push back. They'll say, this isn't an educational need. And I did say educational, but let's talk about it. We don't have data to support this. And here's how to break through those barriers to advocate effectively. I do talk about collecting data. You can do that at home and in your community. You can keep it on your smartphone, digital file on your computer, or just write it out and bring it with you. So thinking about these areas of needs that are impacting your kiddo and for you to start collecting data yourself so that you can start bringing it to the team to feel empowered. A suggestion can also be that you want to request a functional performance evaluation. You can do this through an IEP meeting. So many schools focus again on those academic tests, but you have the right to request assessments for non-academic areas. So ask for an evaluation that looks at social emotional, ask for an evaluation that looks for executive function or behavioral skills. And you can put that in writing specifically, because we always have to put it in writing, because remember, if it's not in writing, it doesn't take place. And you're going to say something like, I'm requesting the functional performance evaluation to assess my kiddo's needs in the areas of executive function, behavior, social skills, as these impact their ability to access their education. So those are the keywords. Then you're going to use data to build your case. So start tracking patterns at home or when you're out in the community, whether that's running errands at the library, the mall. I don't know many people still going to the mall, sadly, but yes, if they're in any sort of soccer or anything like that, to start collecting your data. Does your kiddo have a meltdown after school because they spent their whole day holding it together, what we like to call masking? Are they struggling to follow multi-step directions and manage their time? I want you to document the struggles, bring them to the IEP meeting, and better yet, you can also ask their teacher for feedback in those specific areas. Ask the question, does my kid have difficulty with, and specifically, let's not muddy the water and list a thousand things, but like, what are our priorities that we can get support for now to help build that capacity in the future? I want you to ask for SMART goals when it comes down to it. So once are identified or once the needs are identified, the IEP is going to include specific measurable goals. A vague goal like will improve behavior is not going to cut it. So you really want something that is going to say, for example, by the end of the semester, so it's time bound. We'll use coping strategies, specifically stating what they're going to use. What is the criteria? So maybe out of X amount of times, when frustrated. So you really want to map out a time frame, specifically what we're supporting, and then what parameters that's going to look like, and then how are we following up to ensure that what we're collecting data on in that goal is being collected and reported in a timely fashion. Make sure that we're requesting support services and accommodation. So if your kiddo struggles with transition, maybe they're going to need a visual schedule or a transition warning. If they have trouble organizing, perhaps maybe a daily planner or a check-in, like a check-in, check-out with a teacher. I've had students, they go into the school, they check in with a specific teacher at a specific location, and then they check out with the same teacher in a specific location at the end of the day. So really think of accommodations of how as to how and the services as the who. Together, they're going to ensure your kiddo gets that support, right? I also want you to use the nice and politely, can you show me that policy trick? So if the school says, we don't do that, can you show me the written policy that states the support can't be provided? 9 out of 10 times, there's absolutely no policy. It's just a preference there in the building. And so that's one question that can certainly open the doors. Now, if you still get pushback and they don't have the policy, you also want to follow up with, okay, I understand that you can't show me this policy. Can you write that? I look forward to seeing that in the prior written notice. Remember, that is the notice that comes out after your meeting. It's a little confusing term. After your IEP meeting as to what was proposed at the meeting, what was implemented, accepted, and what was denied. So those are some key words and phrases that may help better your outcomes at the meeting, and also doing it in a just nicely, kind, warm way so we can still keep the collaborative nature of that. So before we wrap up, here is your action plan. I want you to email the IEP team requesting a functional performance evaluation, document your kiddo's struggle, and collect those observations from your teachers as well. I want you to come to the IEP meeting with some sample SMART goals so that you really can show the team how this all can connect with what the law says, what your kiddo needs, and ensuring that free and appropriate education. I want you to ask for specific accommodations and services and always push back in a really nice way of, can you show me the policy? When faced with resistance, and also I look forward to seeing that in the prior written notice. Most importantly, remember this, your kiddo's IEP is about their whole entire development, not just academics. So their ability to make friends, manage the emotions, stay organized, participate fully in school matters, and you have the right to advocate for these needs. As a reminder, if this episode helped you, don't keep it to yourself. Please share it with another parent who needs to hear this. And if you want the step-by-step support and advocating for your kiddo's IEP, check out my course, Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility at learningessentialsedu.com. And let's make sure our kids get the support that they deserve inside and outside of the classroom. Until next time, I'm Wendy Taylor. I'm your host, and this is the Special Ed Strategist. Bye for now.